The Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan in August sent shockwaves around the world. The speed of the Afghan National Army's collapse and the disintegration of President Ashraf Ghani's government took even the US by surprise. Now, the international community is trying to figure out how to deal with the new realities on the ground. The Taliban is now in power, determined to implement its vision for Afghanistan and cement ties with the rest of the world. I am Hashim Ahlbarra in Kabul, and this week I will be talking to the spokesman of the Taliban's Ministry of Foreign Affairs about the group's spectacular rise to power and its plans for how it will reach out to women, minorities and its opponents. Is the Taliban open to reform, and will the group abandon its strict interpretation of Islamic law? We'll put that to Abdel Qahar Balkhi as the spokesman of the Taliban's Ministry of Foreign Affairs talks to Al Jazeera. Mr. Abdel Qahar Balkhi, thank you very much indeed for talking to Al Jazeera. You've recently accused the United States of America of flying drones over Afghanistan's airspace, and you've warned of consequences. How would you describe Taliban's relationship with the US?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Relationship with the United States currently we're seeking positive relations with the United States at this moment in time. Their violation of our territorial integrity of Afghanistan, it is a blatant and a clear violation. It is against the commitments that the United States of America made in the Doha Agreement. The Doha Agreement clearly stipulates that the United States and other countries as well, its allies, will not interfere in the internal affairs of Afghanistan. They are not only violating their own commitments, but they are also violating international law by flying drones and aircrafts in our airspace. Yet we still seek dialogue, we still seek engagement, and that has been our policy from the very beginning, to hold each other accountable for our actions. Let this relation develop. Let this relation develop, and any problems and any issues that we might have with one another, it should be resolved through dialogue and not through provocative actions that could lead to even creating even further problems for Afghanistan, for the people of Afghanistan, and for the security of the world.
Is there any direct channel of communication between you and the Americans, or is it through a third party?
No, we have not only with the United States. We are engaging, we are interacting with everyone, with the wider international community, with the EU, with the United States, with our neighboring countries. We have a direct contact with them, and we are advocating dialogue and engagement.
You spent quite some time with the Americans to work out the details of the Doha Agreement, so you should be knowing each other. And the general feeling was basically that after the Doha Agreement, the US and the Taliban would be able to turn the chapter of decades of mistrust, mutual mistrust. I don't see that happening anytime now.
It is actually very unfortunate. As you alluded, we held very long in negotiations and dialogue with the United States, and both parties made commitments after very, very detailed discussions. It was not a tentative agreement, it was a very detailed and very very close interaction we arrived at that agreement, but again it's unfortunate that when the administrations changed, the new administration decided not to stick to the timeline of the agreement or the contents of the agreement, mm-hmm. and veered off in another direction. We were also hopeful that we would enter a new chapter mm-hmm. following the agreement, a chapter that brings peace, prosperity, stability to Afghanistan, and it brings us and the world closer together. But unfortunately, again, it is the United States that has taken a stance that that is in opposition to all international norms.
But the U.S. itself, President Joe Biden, said that the U.S. is a long way off from recognizing the Taliban.
Again, we want positive relations. We want positive relations. We want engagement, people-to-people engagement, diplomatic, economic, to tackle common challenges that are not only affecting us, but they're also affecting the United States and the wider international community mm-hmm. that are related to Afghanistan. The matter of recognition is the prerogative of the United States of America, but we want and we seek positive relations with all countries.
Yeah, but Mr. Abdul Qahar, you do understand that there is a huge political, diplomatic problem now, because when you swept through the country, across the country, in August, the world was grappling with how to deal with the fast-moving events in Afghanistan. And they were hoping that the Taliban, when they took over, they would be sending some reassuring messages to the world that they are genuine about forming an inclusive government. Now, when I look at the new government, it's predominantly hardline Pashto leaders who were part of the government in the past when the Taliban was in power in Afghanistan in 1996 to 2001. You didn't change, and you are sidelining people in Afghanistan.
The first point that I want to clarify and make known to everyone is that this new government that has taken control in Afghanistan, it is not through military force. We made an agreement that we will not enter through military force. And I stress again that this was not a military takeover. It was the blunder and the missteps by the previous administration that was present in Kabul. We gave everyone a chance. We signed an agreement. We wanted to hold dialogue precisely because we did not want to see Afghanistan in a state where it is left in a vacuum. Our takeover or our coming to power was one of the unparalleled in history. It was a phenomenon. It was unparalleled in history, never witnessed, where we have been fighting for 20 years with the United States and the government they had imposed. We had been fighting them for 20 years, yet when we wanted to hold dialogue and to form an inclusive government mm-hmm. with all political parties that were present here, the other side decided that they did not want to see a peaceful and stable Afghanistan. They wanted to leave an unstable Afghanistan with different power brokers.
When you say the other side, you're talking about Afghan people or the international community?
I'm talking about all sides that were opposing.
Yeah, but there's a problem here, Mr. Balkhi. So you met with Abdullah Abdullah, you met with Hamid Karzai, you met with different members of the former government, clerics, tribal leaders. And the hope was basically that you would form a government that includes all the different voices of the Afghan society, even those who are opposed to the Taliban. That would have sent a positive signal to the international community. There is not a single woman in this government, Mr. Balkhi. There is not a single member of the opposition. There is not a single member of the former establishment. For many, this is an indication that the Taliban does not want to do business with the other voices of the Afghan people.
Again, I want to emphasize the fault is not with us, but with the parties that did not want to engage. That is the main problem, that is the source of the problem. We committed ourselves to dialogue with the people that you mentioned, and we sincerely and genuinely wanted to start negotiations. And it was part of the agreement that we signed as well. That they scuttled the talks and tried to delay the process, that is their problem. Mm-hmm. We genuinely wanted to sit and talk, and we committed ourselves to it in the agreement, and we stuck by it all the way till the end. But the events that unfolded were not driven by us, but it was them. They did not want to engage in dialogue. That was the main problem.
Mr. Balkhi, this is 2021. And you say that you're genuinely willing to open up to the international community. But when you take decisions like imposing restrictions on girls' education, you're sending the wrong message here.
What we have to understand here is that there is a lot of sensitivities, customs, restrictions in our own society. And this issue of women education, we have committed and we have guaranteed all the rights that have been afforded to women in Islam. That is their right to education, their right to healthcare, their right to work. And the process that the world wants us, the steps they want us to take, we are taking them. We have seen progress in them. We have
but on
allowed...
the ground, this is not happening because girls...
No, girls are going to school. Girls are going to schools. We are only working on
female secondary students are yet to go to school.
Yes, we are working on mechanisms of bringing them, opening up all schools. But it is a gradual progress. Process.
Because we've been talking about these issues. You're very young, by the way, Mr. Balkhi. Afghanistan today is different than Afghanistan of 1996 to 2001 when the Taliban first came to power. When the Taliban leaders meet, do they talk about the need to readjust to the new reality, the need to change, the need to implement reforms? Do they understand that the young Afghan people, boys and girls in Mazar-e-Sharif, Kandahar, Kabul, Badakhshan, Taha, are different with different hopes, different aspirations? And not necessarily some people who are loyal to the Taliban.
Yes, it is not only us, our society that has changed, but the entire world has progressed, has advanced. We understand all the complexities of the current world. We understand it very well, and we are working. But again, I must emphasize that, as the saying goes, Rome was not built in a day. Mm-hmm. What we are asking is for time. Even when countries that have governance models implemented, like the United States, they have an electoral system, and even then, when one administration changes and the other one comes, they have at least a 10-week window of transition. Mm-hmm. We have not even been given a month, and the demands that are being imposed on us are things that need time, and that's what we are asking for. The process will happen, but gradual. Gradually
I understand. But
arrive at this stage.
But the Taliban has been ambivalent about many issues, sending very conflicting messages. Some of them are very vague. And this, I really appreciate if you can give me a straightforward answer when it comes to what kind of Afghanistan you would like to see. Are you committed to building a vibrant, democratic Afghanistan where freedoms of thought expression will be protected, where people will be given a chance to say whatever they want to say, even if what they are going to say is totally different to what the Taliban embraces as an ideology?
Again, this concept has been misunderstood. This concept of freedom of expression has been misunderstood. It is not related to a democratic order. Islam itself allows freedom of expression. And I have to clarify one point. After 40 years of conflict, of death, of destruction, this country has seen the chaos that was prevalent. The system of governance that has taken hold, it is the first time in nearly 40 years that all opposition, whether in the government or outside the government, every individual has the right to express his opinion. You sitting here and interviewing me, the media that is present, the vibrant media that you yourself are witnessing that is present in Kabul and across Afghanistan, is also a testament of our commitment to freedom of expression, to freedom of speech. Our priority at this moment is stabilizing this country. We have been at war and conflict for 40 years. And I have to emphasize this point again and again. 40 years is a very, very, very long time for a country to be mired in constant conflict and war.
But I have to say that journalists, Afghan journalists, are pretty much concerned. They say that you are imposing restrictions on them and that they are telling them you have to follow the agenda of the Taliban. You've been very critical of the former government, but at least during the last 20 years, there was a constitution which was adopted in 2004, there was a parliament, and there were political parties trying to vie for a bigger say. You know what's the biggest concern? Is that when, if you tomorrow decide to talk to the Europeans, they will tell you, we need to see political parties contesting elections, we would like to see women given bigger say in the government, and you're not giving the world an indication that you are willing to implement those political reforms.
Coming to your first point about restrictions on local media, that the fears are irrational, they are unfounded, no one has ordered or instructed any journalist to take a certain stance, to follow a certain policy. Our freedom of expression that they have, the freedom of expressing their voices, that has to be within the bounds of Islam. It must not transgress against the honor and dignity of individuals. It must not violate and rouse emotions, Islamic emotions, or religious emotions. So it must, the expressions, the freedom of expression that they have, it must not cross certain bounds.
All right.
That is the only restrictions.
When you talk about those boundaries, of all the Muslim countries, the Taliban are internationally known for their strict interpretation of Islamic laws. But you go to countries in the Muslim world, they have very relaxed codes. Are you still stuck in the mindset of 1996, 2001, where your worldview was different than the rest of the world, or are we likely to see some changes here?
Again, I have to say that to each country, and each country has its own laws and regulations of running the governance structure, of running the government, of giving liberties to the people. We are committed and we guarantee every single right that Islam has given to the people
of Afghanistan.
We will give it to them. But we do not want interference in our internal affairs.
I see your point. Let's go to
Region. Just as we do not interfere and do not demand certain things from others, we would also like the same treatment.
Let's go to regional politics. I would like to start with your neighbor, Tajikistan. President Imam Ali Rahmon has accused the Taliban of human rights abuses in Panjshir and said there's absolutely no way Tajikistan will recognize your government. Are you in touch with them?
The reports, I have not seen any of the human rights violations because we have sent media to the Panjshir Valley. There have not been any human rights violations committed in Panjshir. We are in talks with Tajikistan, and again, we want good relations. We want positive relations with all our countries, that are our neighboring countries, our regional countries, the international world. We want engagement. We want dialogue, and that is our policy, and will continue to be our policy to iron out any differences or any obstacles, any concerns they have through dialogue and engagement.
Do you see Iran as a potential ally of Afghanistan?
We see all neighboring countries, with Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Iran, mm-hmm. Pakistan, all these countries. Mm-hmm. We want good relations with them. We want positive relations. We are neighbors. We have rights on one another.
But you know, you're the spokesman of the Minister of Foreign Affairs. You know that the Iranians are pretty much concerned about you sidelining the Shia Hazara in Afghanistan. You're not giving them a bigger say.
No, we have not sidelined the Shia Hazara community. As you might have also read reports, that there had been no fighting in the Hazarajat regions of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. The handover of security, of governance to the Islamic Emirate was through peaceful means, through understanding. Mm-hmm. And we have even included a Hazara, a Shia Hazara, as a minister in our cabinet.
If you fail to get the recognition from the Americans and the Europeans, do you think that China and Russia could be the potential partners the Taliban will be ready to do business with?
Again, and I want to emphasize this point over and over, mm-hmm. we seek engagement. We seek engagement with the United States, with the EU, with Russia, with China. We do not want Afghanistan to be a playground of competition. We want it to be an economic corridor and a space of cooperation between all world countries. We do not want a supposed great game being played out on our poor people and against our poor okay. people. So again, we want engagement and positive relations with every single country around the world.
One of the sticking points here is the Islamic State of Khorasan, which is an affiliate of ISIL and Al-Qaeda. The Americans made it clear, and the Europeans, the Russians themselves, the Chinese, your allies also, that they don't want to see those groups operating in your country, using your country as a platform to launch attacks against the Europeans and the Americans. Are you determined to clamp down on Al-Qaeda and ISK?
The ISIS phenomenon that took root in Afghanistan was during the time of the United States of America, when it had occupied our land. We have fought against ISIS. Our people, the people of Afghanistan, do not accept the ideology, the extremist interpretation of Islam, of ISIS or any such groups. And we have made commitments. And we have proven through our actions from our inception as the Taliban movement to the Islamic Emirate in the 90s, and through the stage of fighting for our freedom mm-hmm. against an occupation, that we will not allow anyone to threaten the security of any other country from the soil of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. We have made that commitment in the Doha Agreement as well.
Mr. Balkhi, you understand that winning war is one thing. Building a country is something else. Now, when you look at the future of Afghanistan, what kind of country do you have in mind, like, let's say, in 5-10 years from now?
We envision an Afghanistan that is a country that serves as an economic corridor for between the East and the West, a space of engagement, a country of prosperity, a country that is at peace with itself and the world. That is our vision for a future Afghanistan, where we are an open society, a diverse society, where people have freedom of movement, freedom of expression, and all the other rights that Islam has given to every single individual.
Abdul Qahar Balkhi, spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Afghanistan, thank you very much for your time.